Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, all of our VFN Radio listeners all around the world. My name is John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today in the studio is the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How are you doing, Mr. Hamilton?
Doing wonderfully well.
Really?
Yes, I'm doing very good.
I'm glad to see that. I see that you're trim and things are going well with that.
Yeah,
We're not going to talk about that today.
I know. And my Saints won a playoff game.
Did they really?
Yes, they did.
Wow.
Yes, they did.
Wow. Okay. All right, don't get too.
So we got one more week.
Yeah, don't get too happy with that. You know how that goes. You know.
Oh, I know. I've learned my lesson.
Oh my goodness, I do know that we have some other delightful things to speak about. Some new arrivals that have arrived over the holidays, and Chris, we're going to be sharing about that today. You don't want to miss this program. I can tell you that right. You do not want to miss this program. But my goodness, what a weekend! It's like, oh my goodness, It's fast.
Yeah, they get faster and faster.
Man, oh my! I heard don't blink, because it's going to pass. We have so much to share with you today. We're going to talk about, my goodness, the wonderful good shepherd that we have in Jesus and the joy that we have to be close to him. We're going to really get into that and really going to share some practical wisdom. Let me tell you something. The Word of God speaks of, truth and a lot of wisdom, and we can learn a whole lot. We're also going to talk about, my goodness, a Russian hitman, a former Russian hitman who used to serve Satan, who is now serving Jesus Christ. When you hear this man's testimony, you're going to be so encouraged. So often, people give up on other people very quickly. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm glad no one gave up on me. But, Jesus will never, ever give up on anyone. And we don't want to throw anyone to the side and say, oh, my goodness, their sins are so horrible, or this person or that. Listen, God's grace is sufficient. He saves to the uttermost. And when you hear his story, I'm grateful that God saved me. But when you hear his story, you're going to be encouraged and say, wow, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his truth. We're also going to talk about a mayor, a mayor in the United States. And we're going to, get down in this, man. But a mayor in the United States declared the Bible for 2014, the year of the Bible, 2014,
wow,
over his city. We're going to talk about this. I mean, this was really, really encouraging. And I'm seeing hope.
Wow.
I'm seeing hope for our nation. But I don't know if you saw this, but I came across this picture, and I couldn't help but see this and read a little bit about this. But apparently there is, I guess, a world-famous sheep named Shrek. Okay? I've never heard of it. But a world famous, until now, named Shrek. And the idea about this sheep, okay, is that he was found, I guess he was hiding in a cave or trapped in a cave, and he was there for 6 years. And the way the story goes, that during this time, his fleece grew without anyone to shave it.
Uh-huh.
And so you're seeing a picture. We're going to have a picture available for you on the torch, but you're probably looking at that.
Oh,
that,
wow.
That's what that looks like, okay?
It's like a giant cotton ball.
That's 6 years of fleece.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, that's 6 years of fleece. And they weren't able to shave. Obviously he wasn't able to get his
he hadn't seen the barber in a while.
To get shaved off. And when they finally shaved his fleece, okay, it weighed an amazing 60 pounds.
Are you serious? Hair?
60 pounds now.
Oh,
now,
goodness.
My understanding is that their fleece shouldn't weigh no more than 10 pounds, okay, with the exception 15 maximum.
Oh, my goodness.
And this sheep went around for 6 years with 60 pounds, eventually, of a fleece.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that when the shearer got to the sheep, it only took 28 minutes to pull off the 60 pounds of what that sheep was carrying. And it just kind of reminds me of the Good Shepherd, Jesus in John 10, you know, and how God is really so good to us. You know, we are the sheep, right? Mm-hmm. He is the shepherd, the Good Shepherd. And, you know, God has a plan for us. He wants us to remain close. He wants us to remain very near to him. Mm-hmm. And apparently, there are some sheep, we'll talk about that in a minute, but some sheep have wandered away from the shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you look at how what happened to this sheep. I mean, my goodness, 6 years in hiding, you're going to come out like a big old furball, combo. And you got to see this picture. We're going to make it available. But it's like, oh, my goodness, dude, it's 60 pounds of stuff. You can't even see his eyes. I mean, all you see is like his bare mouth. He's just one big giant.
You see a couple of hooves and his nose.
I mean, that's it. That's it. And we got to remember God's the one that's leading us. Mm-hmm. Of course, if we're not leading ourselves. And, you know, Psalms 23 says that the Lord is my shepherd. Mm-hmm. He says, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Think about that. He, God, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, think about it. God still leads. Mm-hmm. He guides. And he restores. But oftentimes, I think many people just claim a promise out of the Bible and just say, hey, that's mine. I'm going to receive that. I'm going to take that for myself. And it's like, well, you got to understand, sometimes you got to do something here. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have to apply this to your life. And it's true. Yes, the Lord does guide. He does restore. He does lead his sheep. But the sheep have to stay close enough to be led, to be restored, and to be guided. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, what is getting ready to come? 2014, listen, strap on your seatbelt. I mean, tie your Bible to your arm. I mean, I'm saying, listen, you don't need God. Mm-hmm. You are going to need God. And I think that things that maybe we're tolerated, things that maybe you were able to fly under the radar and not, you know, I don't think that's got, listen, we're coming to a day and an hour where you're going to need to be very close to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to need to be very, very, very close. But this sheep wandered away. Mm-hmm. He wandered, was hidden in a cave. And you think about carrying six times the weight of something that he was never meant to carry. It's amazing that he survived, really. The sheep, and they were able to find them. Mm-hmm. But I can't help to see the glaring message in this picture and in what happened to the sheep. The thing is, we got to stay close. We got to stay close. We were meant to walk closely with the Lord. And when we wander away from God, the weight becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the longer we stay away from him, that veil, if you're not hanging with the truth, if you're not hanging with Jesus, come on. I mean, who are you hanging with? Mm-hmm. That veil, if you're not hanging with the truth, more than likely you're going to be comfortable with the lie. Mm-hmm. And that veil is going to become thicker and thicker and thicker over your eyes where you begin to start believing any lie of the enemy. Because you're away from the truth. You're away from God. And there's so many things that right now the enemy is using to entice people and pulling them away from the shepherd. You know, there's different things that are happening. People are being used to pull you away. There's all sorts. And you cannot be ignorant. Mm-mm. You can't, you know, keep your eyes off of the Lord. You listen, careful. The next step you take, you could be walking off of a cliff. And you just thought you were just going to, you know, relax a little bit or pull away a little bit. Listen. The devil, just he'll eat your lunch. And you want to stay close. You want to stay grounded. You know, I've heard it said, and I can't verify this, okay? I can't verify this, but I've heard it said that when a sheep has a tendency to wander away, a real sheep here, you know, a real sheep, but a natural sheep, not a spiritual sheep, a natural sheep, wanders away, that the shepherd would break one of the sheep's legs and as a way to help that lamb, you know, that sheep not get away. You know, mm-hmm. And he'll carry them, he'll feed them by hand so that the sheep will learn who the shepherd is, hear his voice, be familiar, and you know, bring them close. Because the sheep, the shepherd, at first glance, you look at that and you think that, that could be brutal. I you know, I can't verify this. I just know from my own personal, you know, I've had a couple breaks here or two. You know what I mean? I've had maybe all four broken, maybe twice at least. I don't know. But God would allow certain brokenness to come into our life because he loves us. Mm-hmm. He loves us. He really, really, really does. And he will allow things to happen, you know, that maybe will hurt our flesh or maybe hurt our feelings or hurt what's going on in our life, only to save us from going over that cliff or being taken out by the enemy. And we need to be able to hang with the Lord, because there is no other way. You know, Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Mm. Shrek was carrying around a heavy burden right there, 60 pounds of burden. Mm-hmm. But there was three important words, because it's not just going to happen. That's the whole thing. It's not, you know, instant Christianity, microwave. Listen, it doesn't work that way. You can't read a book and just, you know, all of a sudden, you know, get everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. You need to hang out with Jesus. You need to abide with him. We're going to talk about abiding, by the way, today. You don't want to miss today's program. We're going to talk about loving God's word and loving God. But there was three important words in the beginning of this verse of scripture. Three important words. Come to me. See, we got to come to Jesus. We have to come to him. It's just not going out. We're the ones that take the first step here, mm-hmm. if you will. You know, God loves us. He's drawing us, but you got to put some skin in the game, if you will. You got to get in there.
Right.
James 4:8 says, "Look, come near to God, and he will come near to you." It's a beautiful and amazing promise in the Word of God, but we need to draw close to him. We need to be there at his feet. We need to be there listening to his voice and obeying his word. Listen, there are real devils out there. There's a real strategy to take you out. But listen, even if there wasn't a strategy, even if there wasn't evil, even if there wasn't, God is good enough. His love and his mercy are so beautiful that you want to be around him. Mm-hmm. Don't be a wandering sheep. Don't be like Shrek walking around with 60 pounds of unnecessary fleece burdening you. All you need to be is close to the Lord, where he can begin to shear those things off of your life, mm-hmm. so that you can become freer and freer and freer. Let me tell you, I bet you Shrek was very free of them 60 pounds game off of him. Mm. You know, get that stuff off of you. Get that stuff off of you. It only took 28 minutes to pull off that sheep's body, what he's been carrying for 6 years. All you need is to spend time with Jesus. All you need is to be in his presence. And it's amazing, just by being with the Lord, abiding with him, seeking him out, coming to him, drawing close to him, God will begin to change you. You'll go from glory to glory, but you're not going to do it on your own. Listen, the good shepherd is here for you. Stay close, because he loves you and he has an amazing plan for your life. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I was told by my supervisor that I couldn't have my Bible and religious books on my desk in my work area. I was wondering if that was legal or what can be done about that.
Well, it's not legal. The Bible is not a banned book. I mean, if you're allowed to have personal references on your desk area, then you shouldn't have a Bible as a banned object. Now, some of the employers, what's happened, Nick, is some employers have thought that the EEOC, about almost 10 years ago now, were considering adopting what was called a religious-free work zone rule, and that was there'd be no religious discussions or Bible studies allowed in the workplaces. Those regulations never got off the ground, and it never went into effect. But there's been this lingering view, and some employers think that if they allow Christian employees, for instance, to have a voluntary Bible study, which a lot of groups have, or if they have a Bible on their desk, they're somehow creating a hostile work environment. And that's just not the case.
Do you have questions? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody. Yeah, and as a pastor, or just as a brother or sister, I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the MultiplyMovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to MultiplyMovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
My goodness, welcome back. Welcome back. My name is John Ramos, and joining with me back from the break is Pat. And we're going to jump right into kind of where we just left off, talking about, listen, being close to the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd, and we're the sheep. And let me tell you something, there is a tremendous blessing in remaining close to the Lord. But if we wander away, let me tell you, the devil has a strategy to take you out. And there's wolves out there. And I'm telling you that I think that we're going to see so many things happen, you know, this year in particular. You want to be close to Jesus. You want to be close to him. Not only does he love you, he has a plan for your life, but he will protect you. We're going to talk about, hopefully in this program, how the Lord is our shield and our protector. He is our shield. So many people right now are running around with fear and anxieties and worries and all this type of stuff. Listen, if you have Jesus, you have enough.
That's right.
And we're approaching a time now. We're not going to be able to lean on our money because that's getting ready to go. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're not going to be able to lean on our stuff. And you're going to recognize that you had everything you needed all along in Jesus. He is more than enough.
That's right.
But before we get to that, I do want to talk about an ex-satanic Russian hitman who has found the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. CBN is reporting about this, and this just so encouraged me because oftentimes, you know, I've just heard, you know, around how people sometimes have discredited other people from finding God. Maybe sometimes you yourself, you've been, maybe you have a lost loved one, a son or a daughter or a husband, and you're going after God and you're saying, oh my goodness, I wish my lost son, daughter, wife, you know, I wish they would just come to God. I wish they would just know the Lord, and they're just so lost in their sin and they're serving Satan, and maybe you've even given up on that person. I want to encourage you that don't give up on anybody. God loves them and has a plan for your life. I want you to listen to this segment and just hear how this man just got touched by God and how God is using him today. Listen up.
Here's the story of one man whose life mission is to bring the gospel of peace to the region.
Gennady Turkun is not proud of his past, and he gets uncomfortable talking about it.
I left home when I was 13 years old and got entangled with the wrong crowd. I did a lot of things that I'm ashamed of.
He's from the small Russian city of Krasnodar. His life reads like a Hollywood mafia thriller. Drugs, armed robbery, prostitution, hired assassin, money laundering, gun smuggling, you name it, Turkun did it all. And then some.
It's as if I became the devil's slave. I even remember making a pact with Satan to serve him.
And his deeds eventually caught up with him.
I was arrested and sentenced to 20 years in prison.
That's the past. And to witness the power of a life transformed by God, look no further than Gennady Turkun. The year was 1987. The former Soviet Union faced huge political changes, and a young Turkun sat in prison.
I had a bad reputation in prison as someone who had special cult-like powers. Prisoners were even afraid of me.
One day, some Christians came to share the love of Jesus. Turkun says it was the first time he had ever heard the gospel message. But it took 4 years for it to sink in.
In 1991, I realized its true meaning. I dropped to my knees in the prison cell and told God I was a sinner. I didn't want to live one single day without him in my life. From that moment, I went from serving Satan to a servant of Jesus.
The prison miraculously shortened his sentence by 5 years. And he was released in 1996. The day after he walked out of prison, he walked into a Bible training seminar organized by Russian ministries, which focuses on bringing the gospel to the former Soviet Union.
Russian ministries was very instrumental in my life. Their classes taught me how to share my new faith with others. They also put in me a missionary heart to plant churches and help train the next generation of leaders in my country.
He was baptized shortly thereafter. Now, for more than 10 years, Turkun has been leading a church in the predominantly Muslim Northern Caucasus region.
I am convinced that it is the love of Christ that can turn this region around.
That's a tremendous show of faith because Islamic radicals have waged a bloody insurgency here for years. In that time, two wars and scores of terrorist attacks have killed thousands and displaced many more. Turkun's goal? Reach this war-torn region with messages of reconciliation and forgiveness. One way is to reach young people. Turkun coordinates dozens of youth camps each year in partnership with Russian ministries and local congregations. Di Gusalova is a member of Turkun's church and helps with the camps.
These kids have to know there is an alternative lifestyle to violence. We spend time playing games with them, handing out gifts and building relationships. It gives us an opportunity to share the gospel.
Many parents say the camps are godsend.
I love it when they talk about peace and getting along with other ethnic and religious groups. They're helping to build bridges, and this is important.
In one city, the local Communist Party even took out full-page newspaper ads promoting the youth camps.
You may be surprised, but there are many Christians in the Communist Party. We believe that the messages of Christ can give these kids a brighter future.
When he's not coordinating camps or preaching, Turkun trains local believers to become the future leaders here.
It's all about missions and church planting.
Working in the Northern Caucasus is not without its hardships. It includes the volatile region of Chechnya, where Muslim militants and Russian forces have battled back and forth to control the province. There is relative peace now, but Islam's influence is growing.
With the help of the Russian government and several Muslim countries, including Saudi Arabia, Chechnya has today erected what could be the largest mosque in Europe. For evangelical Christians living in this province, life for them can not only be challenging, but potentially dangerous.
Ramza has first-hand experience. CBN News agreed to conceal his identity for protection.
I've been repeatedly warned by Muslim radicals and local authorities to stop preaching, but I will not. I'm a simple man whose life was one day touched by Christ. I have a responsibility to tell others about him no matter the cost.
It's the price that Ramza, Gennady, and the other believers are willing to pay to bring lasting peace.
God changed my life in prison that day for a reason, and this is it: to bring love and hope to these regions.
And please pray for Gennady Turkun, because his church, as well as Russian ministries, are going to be doing active evangelism during the Sochi Games. Well,
isn't that powerful? I mean, so many times people get written off. And let me tell you, don't write anyone off. I'm so thankful for the Lord and what he's done in this man's life and how he's being used to snatch people, you know, from going to hell and bringing them into the, you know, God's kingdom. I want to encourage you, as we just, you know, continue sharing about the power of God, don't not give up on anyone. We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses, we even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, you sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com, partner today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering, the words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand, maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and saying, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN Radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you. Good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat. And we're just finished listening about this man's testimony. It's an ex-satanic Russian hitman who found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and how he continued to go back into the region where he came from and just is preaching the gospel, and God gave him a heart for missions. And when I think about that, Pat, I think about in Mark chapter 5, the man that was just demon-possessed, and you know, Jesus arrives with the disciples, and they have this man just tied up in chains because he's literally cutting on himself and just going nuts. And when Jesus approaches him, you can only imagine, you know, the Bible goes into more detail, but just how this man was just, you know, basically uncontrollable. He's chained up.
Right.
And, you know, and because there's the gospel shared this account, you know, in different ways, and they highlight different things. But one of the passages, all you see is, you know, the man says, "What do you want to do? What do you want from me? Basically, what do you want to do to me?" And the demons inside of him respond, and Jesus says, "You know, what's your name?" And he says, "I'm Legion, for we are many." He's like, "Oh my goodness," you know. Mm-hmm. And I've met a couple of those times. It's like, "Oh my." And you see this one word, if you have a red letter edition, which just means Jesus' words are in red in the New Testament, all you see is like all this black text and one red word that says, you know, go.
Yeah, right.
And all of these demons just fly out of this man and go into a herd of pigs, and the pigs rush into the water, and it's like the people are amazed. Mm-hmm. And now this man who is not in his right mind, who was, you know, tearing his clothes off and cutting on himself and was chained up, is sitting in his right mind, totally clothed, totally delivered, and Jesus is getting ready to go to the next place, and he's begging God to go with him. And something's really interesting. Jesus says, no, I want you to go back. I want you to stay here. I want you to stay here and preach to your family. Stay in the Decapolis, I believe the city is, and stay here and share with them. And the man did. I mean, so many times people are wanting to just go to another place, to another city. And sometimes when God does such an amazing work in our life, it's, you know, we need to be able to share with those people who saw us walk in darkness. Mm-hmm. We need to share with them what happened to us when we went from darkness and we came into the kingdom of light. We need to share with them the hope that we have in our life and who brought the transformation. You know, you just didn't get better. You just didn't pump yourself up. You didn't read yourself to a better you. No, I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people say, well, how do you know you encountered God? Listen, you know you encountered God when you're completely different. Mm-hmm. When the person who you used to be, that person, you don't even know that person anymore.
All right.
The Bible says when someone comes to Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You should be able to look back at that other person and say, oh my, who was that guy or girl? Who was that person? I don't even believe that I could have done the things that I've done. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to transform a life. There's so many things that the world tries to throw out to people to bring, quote unquote, transformation programs and books and education and all. Listen, education has done a lot of things for a lot of people. But let me tell you, nothing, there's no thing in the world that could come close to the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Listen, you want something to change in your life? Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to him 100% and make him the Lord of your life. He's not a good luck charm. He's not a lucky rabbit's foot. He's not a good idea. He's not a jacket that we put on to a better us. Mm-hmm. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Mm. You know, and I'm just reminded of just the verses of scripture that share that. Listen, every knee, one day, listen, every knee will bow. Every single tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I promise you, it's so much better to do it on this side than it's going to be on the other side. You want to do it today and let God bring the transformation in your life that only he can bring. God has a plan for you, but it's his plan, not yours. And just watch him. Watch what he does. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a testament, you know, my own personal life, what God's done in my life. I'm just amazed. And I just look back at that other person and go, my goodness.
Who was that guy?
Who was it? I feel sorry for that guy. My heart breaks when I realize, my goodness, I was that lost. I felt so lied to. When I came to know Jesus Christ, I was so upset at the devil, Pat. I was so upset that I had just bought into that lie, that I bought into the ways of darkness, that I was duped in such a way that I was Satan's slave. I was upset with him. And I said, you know what? I will never serve Satan ever, 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 ever again. My life and my heart forever belongs to Jesus. Mm. And I'm telling you that today you hear people say, well, I'm a Christian and they're a Christian. What does that mean? What does that mean? Being a Christian doesn't mean that we have a pin on our shirt, that we wear a t-shirt, that we have a Bible in our car. What is it? That means that we've given our lives to the Lord. That he is not just Savior, but he is the Lord, the King, the Master of our lives. And let me tell you something. Jesus wants your heart today. Mm-hmm. He wants your heart. Give him 100% of your heart and your life and just watch him. Watch the beautiful thing that he'll do in your life. And I've seen this countless times in so many people's lives and go, wow, what a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Mm. And I just rejoice in it. And I'm excited for all the ones that God's going to continue to bring on this beautiful journey of transformation. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to change. You're not going to have the change. Because a lot of times in the new year, people are looking for a change.
Right.
They're looking, I want to do something new. I want to read a new book. I want to get an education.
New Year's resolution.
Yeah, you know, I want something different in my life. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Another spouse is not going to happen. Another job's not going to make it better. Another baby's not going to change your life. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to do it. Mm-hmm. We have a gaping hole in our hearts. We have a gaping hole. And I often say that you can turn a tub on full blast. You know, you can turn all the water going. You can walk out of your house in the morning, let that water just keep going, and come back home. And that tub will never get filled unless there's a plug at the bottom of that tub.
That's right.
There's no amount of water that can fill it. Mm-mm. And the truth is that there's no amount of sin or things or stuff or money or whatever that could ever satisfy the longing in our hearts. God created you to worship him. God created you to love him and to enjoy this life with him. And there's nothing in this world that's going to satisfy. Nothing. And it pains me when you look at just the stuff that I've given my life to in the past, that mm-hmm. I see other people giving life, and I said, listen, get off of that. Mm-hmm. That road leads to nowhere fast. I mean, it leads to dead end. It leads to death. Get off of that and make a U-turn. Repent. Get off of that and get on the Lord's highway, man. Get on the right path. And many are looking to get on the right path. The right path is Jesus Christ and him alone. He will change your life forever. You know, some of us have written our stories out, and I want to encourage you. And if you're listening to today's program and you want to share this with someone, send them to meetmyfather.org. I was just there recently, Pat. Someone mm-hmm. just shared a testimony how they got saved, and I want them to hear about other people who have given their lives to the Lord and have met Father God. And I was just reading some of those testimonies, and I was just so caught up in gratitude to the Lord and said, my goodness, God, look what you've done. Listen. A few of us wrote our stories. I encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org, read them for yourself, and share them with other people that need to know Jesus Christ. If he did it for us, my goodness, mm-hmm. he will do it for you, for them, and the rest of the world. All we need to do is come to him.
Amen.
You know, I don't know if you saw this, but this is pretty amazing. And I am having hope. I'm having hope for America. It's being stirred up in my heart. But man, did you hear about the mayor in Texas?
No, what happened?
There is a mayor in Texas that declared 2014 the year of the Bible. 2014. This has been, the news has been out there. We have a video for you where you can actually see this mayor. He gathers his, all the folks that live in his town. And basically his vision is to have the entire town, reading the Word of God together. They even put a website together, and we're going to make this available for you on the torch. But they have a website. I believe it's the Bible 2014.com, and they have the one-year Bible. They have reading plans where all the residents in this city, okay, in this town, can actually abide and read the Word of God together.
Oh, wow.
The Bible says, listen, that righteousness exalts a nation. We want you to listen to a newscast basically reporting on this proclamation, and I believe that we're going to see this happen more and more and more all around the nation. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get back to the power of the Lord. And I want you to listen to this segment and just find out. Look what's happening. Just listen to this.
A new year is known for new resolutions, but in one North Texas town, the mayor has proclaimed 2014 the year of the Bible. Fox 4's Melissa Cutler joining us from our Dallas newsroom with this story. Melissa.
Well, Steve, you know, it's a declaration or an official announcement. Mayors do it all the time for whatever reason they choose to. Well, in the case of Flower Mound, the mayor wanted his community to connect through the Bible.
Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place.
In Flower Mound, New Year's Day took on new meaning. 2014 is the year of the Bible, according to the town's mayor, who spoke to us by phone.
I was nervous about doing this, and I mean, I've been thinking about it for 2 years, and I procrastinated about as long as I possibly could.
It's a proclamation made by Mayor Tom Hayden during a city council meeting last month.
And this be our motto, in God we trust.
The year of the Bible has two parts, the genesis of which Hayden's proclamation borrows heavily from President Reagan's almost identical proclamation back in 1983, and quotes various presidents while pointing out America's founding documents are biblically based.
The most important part is the actual scripture.
The second part is a Bible-based website, thebible2014.com.
The way it's set up is so that people would be able to have the same scripture each day that they would go over, and then it would be set up so that at the end of the year, they would have gone through the whole Bible in a year.
The mayor says the proclamation was not law, not voted on by the Flower Mound City Council, and is not an official town action. But it still raises some questions with some Flower Mound residents.
Honestly, I'm a little conflicted. Well, he was elected as the mayor, not as the spiritual leader of Flower Mound.
The mayor and supporting pastors say they know the year of the Bible is off to a small start, but they hope this New Year's and well into 2014 will be the beginning of something much bigger.
So much benevolence about helping your fellow person and the morality that helped build our country is based upon the values that are found in the Bible. And as we look at problems, you know, maybe we're getting away from those values. And, you know, just my little small way, I want to encourage people to get back into those values.
And that website is online, Steve, and it's up and running, even at this moment. Back to you.
Melissa, it took 2 years. I heard him say he was nervous about it. Why did it take so long? Was he worried about brushback and when it went public?
No, it wasn't so much that. It was just that he got the inspiration during a talk from Chad Hennings. You may remember him. He's the former Dallas Cowboys football player. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of talks. Well, he said he'd been thinking about moving forward on this for those years, and it was just really about procrastination. He finally thought enough is enough. It's time to actually do something. This feeling, just he couldn't shake it. It was something that he felt strongly that he had to do, and the longer that it went on, the longer this dragged on, the longer and stronger he felt he had to, you know, move forward. He approached a group of pastors in the fall. In December, he made that proclamation that we saw, and by today, you know, this website is up and is running, and you know, a lot of people put their work into it, from the person who built that website to all those pastors who came together. Mm-hmm. It all seemed to, you know, come together pretty smoothly for today.
My goodness, is that not encouraging?
Wow, that's powerful.
I mean, when the mayor says, listen, 2014 is the year of the Bible. And I just think about Esther, and I think about, my goodness, for such a time as this, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this more. You can actually hear the mayor himself make this proclamation and how he got to the point where he said, listen, I'm just going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's an old song that goes, I did it my way. I faced it all and stood tall, and I did it my way. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and while I won't be singing for you today, here's licensed clinical psychologist and mom of four, Debbie Cherry, who has some advice for moms who take those lyrics to heart.
It is mainly that we care so much we want to see it done. That we are passionate and driven and just have this idea that feeding our kids this meal and giving them a bath on this night and doing everything this way is going to make them the best adults someday that they can be. We really do believe that. There is also a component of that, though, that we have to be honest with ourselves and say that there is some pride tied to that. An idea that says, my way is the right way, and that's just prideful, and that's wrong. My way is not the only way or the right way all the time.
Hear more today from Debbie Cherry about relationships at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio. And you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church. And they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties. And they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton. And before we went to break, we were talking about this just courageous. I love this mayor in Texas that I'm just going to do this. I'm gonna declare the Bible 2014, the year of the Bible. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's like, man, for such a time as this, so many people are getting into a position. Maybe you're an elected official or you have some authority and God brought you into a place. And it's like, what are you doing with that? We're here for just such a small time. It's a vapor. And we got to be stewards of the earth. God's allowed us to walk on this planet, to breathe, to live, to function, not so that we can have a big home and a white picket fence and do all this stuff. Listen, we're supposed to touch our generation. We're supposed to stand for God. We're supposed to make tremendous impact for the kingdom of God. You know, and we were talking some time ago about, my goodness, 6,000 years maybe this world's been around, 6,000 years. And, mm-hmm. When you think about the small amount of time that we have been given, allowed to live, the Bible says that life is but a vapor. I mean, we're here today, we're gone tomorrow, and you think about all of the wonderful, powerful men and women of God who are able to stand in their generation. Today, I mean, I feel like, we're standing on their shoulders, mm-hmm. on what they've labored for, what they've sowed, and what they've contended for the faith and for the advancement of the gospel. And it's like, my goodness, what are you going to do? What are we going to do in this day and in this hour? Greg shared some time ago about, a car has a certain amount of horsepower basically, that if mm-hmm. your car's 300 horsepower, it basically represents the power of 300 horses. And it just hit me when he said, man, it just hit me like, it just exploded in me. He says, listen, all this other time since creation of the world, everyone's gotten around on a horse. Yeah. It's only been the last 50 years if we've enjoyed the pleasure of getting in a car. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how much have we taken for granted? And I just love that this mayor says, listen, for such a time as this, you know, for 2 years I was a little bit concerned, but I'm just going to go for it. I want you to listen to what he said during this council meeting, and he gathers all these people up, and this is the proclamation. I want you to hear it for yourself. We're going to make this available on the Torch. Listen up.
I'd like to make a special proclamation. This began about 2 years ago. I heard Chad Hennings speak, and Chad Hennings was up. And as you know, you cannot hand Chad Hennings a microphone without him giving his testimony about how he became a Christian. And one of the things that he said during that time was God puts people in certain positions in certain areas, and he uses them to do things. And that stuck with me, and I've had something on my heart for a couple of years, and to be honest with you, I've been scared to do it. But as I keep thinking about it, and it doesn't go away, I came to the revelation that I really needed to do it, because as Chad said, God puts people in certain places if he don't, and he uses you, and if he does, he takes things away. And I just, I'm very fortunate that I have a father who is a great example, and his entire life, he's had one goal in life, that's to go to heaven. And he's 81 years old, and when he dies, everything, who is a great example, and his entire life, he's had one goal in life, that's to go to heaven. And he's 81 years old, and when he dies, everything he's ever wanted in life will be a reality. And that is a great inheritance as a son to have of a father. And so tonight I'm going to do something that's a special proclamation. And the idea of this is to encourage our community to discuss the Bible, to discuss it with your kids, to discuss it with your family. So if I could, I'd like to read this special proclamation. Throughout the history of the United States, one of the most important influences that has shaped our country into a distinctive nation, none may have been more profound or enduring than the Bible. And whereas early settlers sought fortitude in their religious convictions found in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, and their communities were centered on a deep devotion to their Christian principles that helped provide comfort and strength and was a source of faith that they could long endure in a new land and a new home called Texas. And whereas the framework of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution was modeled and influenced by the teachings found in the Bible, and whereas the values put forth in the Bible have been the foundation of our country in beliefs that all people, all individuals, are bestowed with inalienable rights, that all are created with equality in the eyes of the Creator and the laws of our land, and whereas the teachings of compassion and love for our neighbors has inspired institutional and governmental expressions of benevolent outreach, the encouragement of private charity, the establishment of schools and hospitals, and the abolition of slavery, and whereas it is true and correct, our nation was not founded on any particular religion, nor is it mandated by any government in the United States that any individual should observe a particular religion. However, the fiber of our founding fathers and the people that have made up our nation from all walks of life have expressed their deeply held Christian beliefs, such as Francis Scott Key, who said, "And this be our motto, in God we trust." From the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Jay, who said, "The Bible is the best of all books, for it is the word of God and teaches us the way to be happy in this world and the next. Continue, therefore, to read it and to regulate your life by its precepts." Of course, Abraham Lincoln, who said, "In regards to this great book, the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for the man's welfare here and hereafter are found and portrayed in it." From the Brown University motto, which "In God We Hope" was the inspiration of Simon Chase to have "In God We Trust" placed in our currency in 1864. Calvin Coolidge, you said, "The foundations of our society and the government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it'd be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." Harry S. Truman, who said, "The fundamental basis of the nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings which we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul." And lastly, Dwight D. Eisenhower, who said, "Our government makes no sense unless it is founded on a deeply held religious belief." Today, our country, our town, is faced with many challenges that are beyond our own abilities, but require wisdom, grace, and compassion from God. As many of our greatest national leaders, among them Presidents Washington, Jackson, Lincoln, and Wilson, have recognized the influence of the Bible on our country's development, and as plainly stated by the President Andrew Jackson, who referred to the Bible as the rock on which our republic rests, I ask that you join with me, Tom Hayden, Mayor of the town of Flower Mound, Texas, in proclaiming 2014 to be the year of the Bible in Flower Mound, Texas, and encourage all residents in their own way to examine the principles and teachings found in the Bible.
Isn't that awesome? When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about more about the year of the Bible and the love of the Word of God. You know, my hat goes off to Tom and the mayor of Flower Mound. But let me tell you, this can happen in your city. This can happen in your own heart. Make 2014, my goodness, the year of the Bible, the Word of God being in you, saturated, immersed. When we get back, we're going to talk more about this in our next program. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFNTV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's mm-hmm. right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell mm-hmm. and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced
attempts to
his father
define yourself
through himself
and
to you where you got saved.
He introduced
attempts mm-hmm. to sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.